it is very, very easy for us to get caught up in feeling like we need to be everywhere at once and posting every single day and churning and churning and grinding and grinding. And I think that that is very detrimental to us, to our mindsets and our business. I think that there do have to be boundaries there so that we're not just caught up in the doing and we're not taking the space to feel, to reflect, and to have our own kind of creative downloads and moments.
Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello and welcome to the show. Today we have Carolyn Stein. She is a content strategist and Instagram coach, and she really works one-on-one with people to help them overcome the comparison game. It is so easy for so many of us to compare ourselves to other people and other podcasters and wondering, are we good enough? Are we doing the right thing? Carolyn, thank you for being on the show. I'm excited to hear some answers.
Well, hey there. I am so excited to be here and to talk to your amazing community today. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. So you are, and I know your journey is, you've done a couple different things before you got to Instagram strategist and content coach, content strategist and Instagram coach. Excuse me. So tell me, thanks. I love what you put out there on Instagram because it's so positive, it's so warm, and it so reflects who you are from the time that I've spent with you. And I think it is so hard for some people to put themselves out there on Instagram in that really authentic way. So how do you do it?
Oh my gosh. I wish there was a silver bullet answer to this. You know, I wish I could give you in one sentence the secret of the universe. But I have to say, I think that overall, kind of from a holistic sense, Instagram is really the downstream, I think, of a lot of things that are happening in your mindset, in your personal life, and in your headspace. So you don't just wake up one day and show up on Instagram in a particular way. I think it's something that really flows out of the space that you're in your head and how you're approaching life, how you're approaching your business. And that is something that allows you, being in that healthy mindset space, to show up on Instagram in an authentic and powerful way that calls in your ideal client on that platform.
So you said a couple things that I want to break down. You talked about mindset, you talked about downstream, and you talked about showing up on Instagram to connect with a client. So can you simplify that a little bit? Because I think sometimes people might not think, oh, Instagram is a mindset game. Because I haven't thought about that. But there are for sure some days where I'm like, I'm not going on Instagram. I'm tired. I don't know what to say. What's the point? You want to see pictures of me breastfeeding? I can do that all day long.
And trust me, you are in no way alone in that. It is so very many women that I talk to and that I work with. What my approach really is I'm kind of part woo, part strategy. So my background is I'm a content strategist and I'm a content creator myself. And so my approach is that there does need to be some thoughtful strategy, of course, to building a presence, building a business on that platform. But I think that that strategy is not really any good if you don't have the right mindset kind of backing that up and providing the energy, the gas in the tank, if you will, that gets that strategy going. So that's kind of what I mean by the showing up on Instagram in a really thoughtful, intentional way, being the downstream of you really being in just a good space in your head and an abundant place in your business and your mindset.
So I had this amazing, I don't know if you saw my Instagram stories, but I had this amazing interview today with someone named Jess, who is very much like into mindset and what we say to ourselves and how we think about ourselves and how that connects with how we feel about what's going on in our lives. So sometimes things might be making us sad, but it's actually not a thing. There's more to it. And so, oh, it's so great that we're talking because I feel like you guys are very similar, but you guys use this mindset tool in a different way. So a lot of podcasters that I work with like to promote their podcast on Instagram. And I know sometimes people are frustrated because they don't necessarily see the engagement that they're hoping for. So what are some things that people can do to maybe really connect with their audience more?
Well, I would say, first off, you have to be incredibly clear about who your audience is. And something that I see a lot of is kind of this broad, general messaging, or someone literally only talking about themselves, as opposed to really addressing the problems and the challenges of their ideal client. And so I think whether it's a client, or, you know, for, if you're selling a product, a service, whatever that is, I think that being as niche and as specific as possible upfront with defining who that client is. And I'm not talking just, you know, demographics, you know, it's a woman, she's 30 to 40, really feeling into what her emotions are and what her challenges are, and being able to put yourself in that headspace and your heart space will set you up in a really good place to be able to then really speak to that person in your messaging. And I think that you being in yourself and in touch with your feelings is what allows you to then kind of embody that in your marketing and do it from the heart.
So I've heard this from, like, figuring out who your ideal audience is and who your ideal client is. I think this is something that I know, and I think a lot of people know of, and they try, and still they struggle to figure out, how do I create this avatar? Do you have any advice, any maybe like shortcuts for people if they're struggling to figure out, how do I create this person that I don't know?
I mean, I think you can dream big and the sky's the limit. Like, I would start literally, have you ever sat down and journaled about, you know, who your ideal dream pie in the sky client is? And get really specific. Literally, who's that person you see on Instagram who you're like, this is the person I want to serve? And again, like I said, it's not just about, you know, her age and where she lives, but, you know, what does she read? What podcasts does she listen to? What is the life that she leads? And what is the life that she wants to lead? And how can you specifically get her from point A to point B? And again, this goes back to the you. Because what you're selling, what you're sharing at the end of the day, is how you are the one person who can connect with this person and take them on that journey. What you're selling, no one else can inherently, because we are all unique.
We are all unique. That is a great transition to the comparison game. So I think that I hear this from my clients so often. It's, you know, there's so many podcasts out there. How am I going to make my podcast stand out? So-and-so is doing this. How do I make mine shine? Had, like, so many people seem to be worried about this. How do we overcome this?
Yeah, that is a great question. And you're right, applicable to so many things beyond Instagram and podcasts. But these are two great examples to start with. I think it's really important to think less about the what and more about the how. If you think about it, like I was saying before, whether it's a podcast or Instagram or a service you're selling, you're taking a person on a journey. And it's not going to be the what. It's not going to be the, you know, special feature on your podcast, or, you know, that one extra ad you have in there, or, you know, on your Instagram. It's not going to be that one unique text thing you do on your reels that brings someone in and makes them want to listen, makes them want to show up, makes them want to engage, makes them want to work with you. It's really the how. And the how you do something, the how you share it, again, is literally bringing to it your authentic personality, your gifts, your connection, and your kind of your mission and your purpose that's connecting you to what you're doing, your why. It's not saying, okay, this is the thing. This is the what we're talking about. There's so many podcasts, I'm sure, that talk about a particular topic. So many Instagram posts that talk about a particular topic. It's how you're showing up as you in the way that, like I said, is only uniquely you, that is bringing in those people who want to say, hey, I want to hear about it this way, because I can only get this take on it right here with this human.
So what would you say to someone who's struggling to figure out what makes them unique, what makes them them?
I think that so often it goes back to mindset, and it's really all about, if somebody's out there comparing themselves, they're really looking externally for cues on what they should and shouldn't be doing. And my answer is always that you need to be looking internally for those cues, because that's the only way you're going to get to that. Like I was just talking about with the how, that place of being able to show up and share authentically. Because I think that so often the reason we're comparing ourselves to others is that we don't truly know ourselves and what we want. So it's really easy to just be kind of swiping along, clicking through podcasts, whatever it may be, and seeing what other people are doing and saying, ooh, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that on my feed. Or like, ooh, I liked her intro on that podcast. I'm going to try that. As opposed to getting really focused and centered on exactly what your mission is, exactly who you're trying to serve, and the gifts that only you can bring to that person.
So someone, if they're sitting down now and they're, you know, thinking, okay, I've got this podcast. I think that, like, could you maybe give an example? Maybe even someone you work with?
Sure. Tell me more. What kind of example can I provide?
So if someone like is there someone who you work with, and maybe it's an Instagram strategy who finds themselves comparing their content to someone else's and they're struggling to figure out, how do I stand out? How do I show up as me on Instagram? Like what, is there someone in your mind you can think of who did this, who figured it out and like made a switch, and now they're really showing up on Instagram in a really authentic way, and it's like drawing people to them?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something I could talk about with clients. I think that's also something I could talk about with myself, in all honesty. I have been on that journey. And that's so much of how I'm able to kind of show up and serve others, because I'm a few steps beyond that. And I can say, not only has this worked, not only does this feel good, but it's fueling my business. You know what I mean? It's when I worked with brands, it's brought in my brand clients, you know, and when I'm working as a coach, it's brought in those coaching clients as well. But overall, from a process perspective, the journey, it's really all about working through our own personal limiting beliefs, the stories we're telling ourselves, those mindset blocks, because that inherently allows us to move away from comparison, shift into that confident, authentic space. And that juicy, amazing energy shows up in our messaging. And that, paired with, you know, some good content strategy, you know, is really, I think, what allows you to grow your business.
So let's talk about content strategy. And we were chatting the other day, and I think that I kind of alluded to this. Something that I noticed just with myself, I'm a podcast coach and a journalist, and I you know, put posts out there on Instagram about those things. But I find that whenever I post something that's very detailed and about like my personal life, about, I mean, something that I'm going through right now. So it's just, I'm talking about it and thinking about it is, you know, being a new mom a second time around. Now I have a 2-year-old and a 2.5-month-old, and things are different. And it's like, I'm experiencing it on a very personal level. And sometimes I'll just like need to journal or diary or get it out of my body and almost like make a note. And it's kind of like Instagram's like my like journal to come back to, because I don't necessarily have baby books out, right? And I notice that when I post something like that, it goes like nuts with my followers compared to like, hey, here's this episode I did, and we talked about this, this, and this, and it's so great. And I think that it can help you here, here, and here. And here's why you should listen to it. And it's so interesting to me.
Oh, yes. And I would very much argue that that is no coincidence. Wait, one quick point first before I dive into that. I would say also, I so agree with you how you said, you know, sometimes you just feel like you need to write it all down and like brain and heart dump that, and it feels so good. Yes, that I think that is the basis of so much good content and great Instagram content as well. But you're so right. It isn't a coincidence that that's the content that is resonating with people, because that's the content where you're showing up as a human being. That is you living your truth and sharing that. And I know perhaps that seems extra vulnerable or maybe not completely applicable to your business or a podcast episode that week, but people connect with people. People want to listen to a human's podcast. People want to click onto a human's Instagram feed. They want to book a service, a product, etc., with a human, because they resonate with that human. And so I would argue that the more authentic and vulnerable we can be in these places, the more successful, quote unquote, we're going to be, because that's what people respond to at the end of the day.
So for someone who, so for example, so like me, hi, I'll be your guinea pig. So I see things like that. And I'm like, am I just doing this all completely wrong? Should I be doing like mommy podcasts instead of podcast coaching? Even though I like in my heart feel like because of my skills as a journalist, and in marketing, I'm in a way uniquely qualified to help women put their voice out there and speak to people and use their voice to grow their business and feel more confident and independent and secure. And I love that, but I see way more people interested in this other content. And so I'm like, am I doing it all wrong? And I wonder if other people wondered the same thing too.
I'm sure that a lot of people have asked themselves similar questions. And my advice would be only you or anyone else knows what's right for you, you know? And I don't think I would be a very good coach in particular if I was showing up to any space with any person and telling them what to do, you know? I think that in that space as a coach, you're really creating the container and asking the questions that leads someone to what their own powerful realizations are. And I think that also these things can change too. You know, you might feel so connected to your soul purpose in this business now, and that might shift over time as well, just as you grow as a human. And that'll inform how you show up. But I think the key is making sure that what your mission is and what you're doing is aligned with how you're showing up and that you're kind of being consistent and authentic in all spaces. Because that's, I think, what integrity is. And people can read that.
Boom. So let's kind of dive into some, if you wouldn't mind sharing some strategy tips for people who are going to be posting about their podcast on Instagram. It sounds like one tip is, hey, it's okay to share stuff that is truly from your heart about you and your personal journey, even if it has nothing to do with your podcast, because it will still connect to your audience. Number two, like, is there a specific amount of times we're supposed to be posting a day? Should we be using Instagram stories? How many links should we have in our bio?
Okay. Yes. I get these questions a lot. I think that, and I've repeated this particular phrase in our conversation prior, but you can definitely have some thoughtful strategy that you're bringing to what you're doing. But I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be whether you post at 10 a.m. or 3 p.m. or on a Tuesday versus a Thursday. That is the key differentiator that brings in that person you want to be, you know, finding your content. I think it's really going to be how you're showing up with your messaging. So that being said, I think that obviously being on the platform as much as you can through kind of a diversity of mediums, whether that's reels, stories, going live, posting on your feed, etc., the more you can do that, the better. But I also have to issue a qualifier here or a bit of caution, because I think that the flip side of this is that it is very, very easy for us to get caught up in feeling like we need to be everywhere at once and posting every single day and churning and churning and grinding and grinding. And I think that that is very detrimental to us, to our mindsets and our business. I think that there do have to be boundaries there so that we're not just caught up in the doing and we're not taking the space to feel, to reflect, and to have our own kind of creative downloads and moments. You know, if we're just, you know, churning out months of content and batching it and scheduling it, I think that so often you see that content on Instagram and that's not the stuff that's really connecting with people. So if you're really able to put yourself in your audience, your client's heart and mind, and write three beautiful pieces of content a week that really connect with them, I would argue that that is going to be more impactful than if you are posting twice a day and have 50 stories up a day and are just a content farm putting it up so you can check that box.
Don't be a content farm. Be a real person.
Be a real human.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find yourself in this space?
Yeah. So in my past life, I worked for about a decade in digital on the brand side, in fashion, and then in the food world. And I was doing, you know, e-commerce, marketing, strategy, operations, all of that. And I've been an entrepreneur, I can say that word, for about 3 years now. And the business that I originally built was doing the content strategy for brands in the food, health, wellness, sustainability spaces, just because that's kind of the areas that I love. And what I would do is I would come in, get to know their business, tell them, you know, this should be your strategy for Instagram. This is what you should sound like, what you should feel like, what you should look like. This is how you execute on this platform. And it was great. I met some incredible people. And I really actually leaned on and ended up fully utilizing Instagram as the lead gen for my business. But what I realized that as I was really immersing myself in this world of female entrepreneurship and building a community around me and just loving on everyone so much and feeling so supported by everybody, I realized that kind of what my calling was not to be dictating the strategy for someone, but to be enabling other women to be able to show up as and for themselves. And so I've completely pivoted my business to, you know, work from working with brands to working with humans. And it just really lights my fire.
Is there a specific reason that you enjoy working with women?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, no shade against men. This isn't like any sort of they're not worth our time. Like I just have found, again, so much really beautiful love and support within my community of female friends, of peers, of people I meet at events and networking events, who literally go out of their way to help and to pay it forward. And I think that that's something that's really beautiful and something I really didn't encounter so much in the corporate world. And I also just generally believe that the more women level up and are really showing up as themselves in all areas of their lives, even though I'm, you know, just talking about Instagram here, I think it does trickle out and have that ripple effect into other areas of their lives, into their relationships, into their homes, into their families. And I think that other women see that and see that example and realize, if they haven't already, that they can also do that in their own way. And so I just have found that working within the space of women is so impactful. And just watching women level up is like the best thing in the entire world.
I love it. I agree so much. And I feel like there needs to be more of it. It's one of the reasons I love working with women. I do have some male clients too. But it always surprises me because I just want to work with women.
It's a special energy all its own.
I agree. And and I also feel like the more women use their voice and kind of own who they are and all of the things that make them qualified and whatever their expertise is, the more they own it, the more confident they become and the more powerful they become, or realize they are. Because I find that women are super powerful, but sometimes count themselves out or don't speak up about something when they have a totally valid, important point that is amazing and should be shared. And that's one of the reasons I love helping women use their voices in podcasting, because you can do so much with a podcast. So yeah, I feel like we could dote on women all day.
We rock. What can we say? Us ladies.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit before about masterclasses. Now, this is something that you do when you are, you know, working with new people who may or may not want to be a new client of yours. So for any podcasters out there who might think, hey, I want to maybe try something else besides my podcast as a lead magnet. There's something else that I'm interested in. Say I have a female empowerment podcast, but I want to start doing a like marketing offer or working with clients in with their marketing skills, what could someone do to test to see if this is a good plan for them?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different things you could do here, but I really enjoy master classes, and I recently gave one because at the end of the day, whatever you're selling in your business, how you're filling that out and actually generating business is so much about relationship building. And I think that Instagram is a phenomenal platform for that. And by extension, sharing something like a masterclass with your audience on Instagram. So with a masterclass, you can do, 45 minutes, an hour. And it's really a chance for people to see you sharing your expertise, teaching, and also they get a sense of kind of your personal style, what your coaching or service could potentially be like, because they're really, watching you and directly interacting with you. So I think a masterclass, especially if, you're sharing it, you're marketing it for a few weeks beforehand, you're talking to people. You're going to have people who maybe have been watching you and paying attention, who you didn't even realize, kind of sign up, come out of the woodwork. It's a great way to connect with them. You may have people who you know really well, who you never thought could potentially be clients, say, oh, hey, I want a piece of that. And then I think there's going to be kind of a whole new and unknown group of audience members that you connect to as well. But I think it's a cool way to get to know people, to bring them into your world, your brand, who you are. And best case scenario, they sign up for your offer, your podcast, your product, whatever it is. And worst case scenario, oh, wait, there isn't one because you're making new connections with other people.
So how would someone host a masterclass?
Okay. So there's a lot of different ways you can do this, but I am always a big fan in making things easy for yourself. So with the masterclass that I recently gave, I literally hosted it for free on Eventbrite. You can go in there, it's free, and you can bootstrap together, your event page, and you can put that link directly in your bio. And you can speak to people on your Instagram and share that and just say, head to the link in my bio to register. It's free. And it literally integrates with Zoom or any other system you might have. And you're able to connect the Zoom, have that invite set up, and people just show up at the date and time that you want them to. And obviously, you can go way more in depth with this. You could build out a custom landing page. You can create whatever experience you want based on your timing, your resources, your bandwidth, of course. But I'm just here to say that you don't have to have a VA, a whole team, and a 2-month lead time to put this together.
So it's an Eventbrite page. I've used Eventbrite. It's super simple and
amazing.
Just you create it and you link it and that's it.
Absolutely. And it's such a great way. I mean, think of even how we're looking at each other right now, but even, through a podcast, you're really hearing somebody, you're hearing their voice, you're hearing their inflection. You're really getting a sense of who they are, where they're joking, where they're cracking up XYZ. It's your personality coming through. And I think that a masterclass is a really great vehicle for that because it's like you're sitting in a room together,
Yeah. So what would you say to, so I imagine some people might be like, but what if I host a masterclass and no one shows up?
Okay. I mean, I would say that's any of our worst case scenarios ever. You know what I mean? Like, what if I post and not a single person likes it? What if I market this and not a single person shows up? I would say, first off, someone's going to show up. And I would also say that it is an incredible lesson in learning to, or that, even if you have 3 people show up in that masterclass and in your head, you were like, I'm going to have 57, I'm going to crush this. Even if 3 people show up, I think it is such a wonderful and important thing to teach to that class like you are playing to a packed stadium and to put all of your energy and abundance into that. Because also, I have to say, and this is a sidebar, but a tie-in to what I talk to a lot of people who complain about their follower count. You have 3 people in that masterclass with you and all those 3 people become clients. What else do you need? You know what I mean? I think that if you, think about it on a human to human level, it's not about having, masses of people in there who, you don't even know who's coming in and out. I think if you're able to really connect on that personal level, I mean, that's all you need.
So for those of you out there who are also like, I don't have a ton of downloads yet. I don't have as many downloads that advertisers are looking for to put in a podcast. And that's about 5,000 downloads after 4 weeks per episode. I would just kind of cling to what Carolyn is saying there, because you do not need to have a ton of downloads or listeners to actually start pitching your product to your audience. This is something that you can start doing with a very small audience. Say you only have 50 listeners. Well, that's 50 people who, if you were in a room full of 50 people, that's 50 eyeballs that would be looking right at you. And if you are anything like me, you might feel uncomfortable and be like, stop looking at me. But there are 50 people who are listening and they're engaged and they're coming back each week. And so don't count them out, because these people are awesome and they care about you and they appreciate what you have to say to them. So yeah, just don't worry about having all these like thousands of followers or downloads. It's really not necessary. And really, small groups are kind of fun. So in my opinion,
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I am so funny. I was a news reporter, TV news reporter for a decade, and fine in front of the camera, but a crowd of people, Carolyn, geez, I hung tied. I just never wanted to be the center of attention. It's so funny to me. I've like emceed a few events, and I might again in the future, but I always was so uncomfortable, and it always like surprised my husband so much, because my husband's also a journalist and he is not like me. He's like, look at me. So it's just so funny. People are so different.
But also, okay, think about this too, though. You just shared that story with me, and I think that there are probably so many people listening to this who related to that, because you were sharing your truth and being honest, and you were like, this is a fear. This is a challenge. This is real. I don't have it all figured out on every medium all the time. Again, going back to like the posting on Instagram XYZ, this stuff resonates when you're real.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you get stage fright?
So I've never been up on stage that often per se. I have, you know, given the, you know, maid of honor speeches at wedding. I've spoken at kind of different brunches, events, that kind of thing. I haven't done a ton IRL. All of the events I was supposed to speak at were, of course, switched to virtual this year. And podcasting virtually is just wonderful. But the feedback I got, I remember the first time I gave my maid of honor speech, the feedback I got was that I looked and sounded cool as a cucumber on the outside, but inside I was like losing my mind. I was like, keep it together. Is your voice breaking?
Oh, I have done 2 speeches at weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not good. They were bad.
I'm sure you're selling yourself short, a little girl.
No, I'm not. Like both times also, because like the weddings had videographers. They had to just like cut my speech out to like the one little part that was good. Because, oh, just, you know, get nervous.
There's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? You were nervous and you showed up anyways. You gave the speech anyways. And I'm sure the intended recipients, knowing how challenging this was for you, they probably appreciated it that much more because they knew how hard it was for you.
Well, I think maybe that, but also they were really glad the videographer cut the bad stuff out.
So everybody wins here. You're facing a fear. There are some edits. You know, it all works. They're feeling the love in the room.
Oh, so funny. Gosh. So do you, I love to ask, all of my guests this, is there something you're struggling with? Is there something you're struggling with in your business?
Ooh, oh my gosh. That's a wonderful question. I mean, it's really interesting. And I think that I'm sure others can relate to this. Having completely pivoted my business, I feel like in some ways, I have so much of the lessons and the mindset work and all of those things in place to have a really sound foundation for this new offering that I am offering, which is one-on-one coaching. But at the same time, I am also a human and I feel that imposter syndrome creep in sometimes when I'm like, well, everybody knows you can do this for brands, but what if you can't live up to it as a coach? You know? I'm human. That's something I think about too. And I think that hopefully makes me more relatable as a coach, knowing that a person coming to me who's dealing with, you know, Instagram comparison, who has some imposter syndrome, is just kind of lost for how to show up on that platform. I've been through all of that too. And it's also with any of these things we work through, with this mindset work, it's not something you do once and then you're like, let's check it off the list. We're good. It's really something you have to devote energy and attention to every day. You know, it's like a muscle you're stretching. And I think that it's good for all of us to remember that struggling is normal and struggling is okay. And you'll be able to, you know, surf things a little bit easier the more work you do, but things are always going to come up. And, you know, it's up to you to decide how you're going to work through it and show up.
Freaking imposter syndrome sets us all back way more than it needs to.
Oh yeah. She's real sneaky. Whew. She just like, I'm like, oh, we good. And then she's like, hey, I'm here. And I'm like, where did you come from? Go away.
Oh, Carolyn, if anybody is looking to take coaching from you, if they're looking to find out more about you, where would you like them to go?
Thank you for asking that question. I mean, we've been talking about Instagram a lot. So come visit me on Instagram. My handle is at Carolyn B. Stein. I'm S-T-I-N-E. And come and visit and take a look at what I'm doing. And if you're interested in potentially working with me, you can head right to my bio and book a call with me. I'm a big fan of getting on the phone and talking things through and getting a sense of what a person's kind of unique needs are and where they're at in their life and their business. Notice how I said life, not just business, because it is all one journey. But I think that, you know, getting a true sense of each other and if we could really be the right fit personally, and if this container is really the thing that's going to give them the results that I want to give and know I can give, I think is really important. So I'm always a big fan of just connecting on Instagram and then getting on the phone and getting to know each other as human.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful and has gone by so fast.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.